Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, first question I have for you, because I have you on the show about every 2 weeks, and we usually discuss the sectors and the markets that you are watching. And one thing that I've noticed is that you don't pay attention to economic data, even central bank policy. You try to avoid overanalyzing or really even paying any attention to. Great example of economic data that came out. Everyone was waiting for these non-farm payrolls, and the number beat estimates. A total of 1.7 million jobs were created. The unemployment rate declined to 10%. But the market moves. U.S. markets are down. The U.S. dollar's really bouncing. Precious metals are down. How do you view economic data such as jobs numbers that seem to move markets, but they don't seem to have any consistency in the type of moves that we see?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. There's no consistency that we have ever found between a lot of the fundamental economic data versus subsequent moves in the stock market. So we're all about, you know, making our clients money. And the best way we know how is to actually only take data directly from the market itself that is determining where prices are going and use that as on a fully objective quantitative basis. So using economic data, again, we've never found a consistent relationship between the two, economic data and price data in the markets. B, if you do find, if you are able to forecast, for example, economic data, which is a very hard thing to do, especially when there are so many machinations that go into determining the data. But even if you're suppose you're able to consistently forecast what the data is going to come out as, there's a very good chance you're going to get the forecast the subsequent reaction wrong in the stock market. So that relationship is not consistent in terms of the reaction of the markets, the financial markets, to whatever economic data comes out. So you have the problem in that there's a very tenuous relationship between the two, and then you have the problem in actually getting the moves right in the market based on the data. And I would say the last thing I would say is in terms of focusing on market data alone and ignoring the economic stuff, which has, again, a very loose relationship, I would say to the extent that any of that data is important and does have some relevance to the market, it's going to make its way into the market data. So whether it's breadth data, whether it's, you know, money flow into the markets, If the economic data, if the fundamental data is relevant, it's going to find its way into the stock market, which is, you know, the world's best discounting mechanism. So if you listen to the signals, to the data coming from the market, you're going to be a lot better off than trying to guess what, you know, prices are going to do based on a very sketchy relationship stemming from the economic data. So that's why we stick 100% objective quantitative data from the stock market itself.
Okay. Now, is there a balance here of market data, which tends to be more forward-looking, because a lot of people agree that markets do try to predict the future. They are more forward-looking. But economic data, it's historic data. It happened at best a couple weeks ago, usually a month or two ago.
Exactly. That's the other thing. Even if you can nail whatever the number is that comes out, jobs data, for example, today, the market, that's ancient history. You know, the market's already looking ahead. So it's even if you can call it, it has very little use to you. So, yeah, you look at market turns, for example, typically bottoms occur on even when the news is really bad. And then really tops tend to occur even when the economic data is good. So it's not going to help you in terms of knowing when to get in, when to get out. when market turns are coming. So again, it's for us, it's completely noise. We don't look at it one iota.
Okay. Now, when it comes to market data or quantitative methods that you prefer and that you guys use, what are some of those that you can share with us?
Sure. A lot of the components that go into our risk model for determining, you know, how aggressive we're going to be comes from actual breadth data. So advanced declines, different proprietary computations of breadth. So the reason being, historically, several studies have determined that about 70 to 80% of the direction of a stock is based on the direction of the overall market. So we want to pretty much decide or determine which direction the overall market in. So are most stocks going up or most stocks going down? If they're going up, then we want to be substantially invested. We want to be substantially long. If they're going down, then we want to be more defensive, you know. So that's one example of some of the quantitative, some of the market data coming from the market itself. Also, we look at some money flow indicators, like what are some of the quote unquote smart money doing versus the quote unquote dumb money, which just basic indicators that of money flow that tend to either be contrary types of flows or flows that tend to persist in the direction of the prices. And then, of course, price itself is one of the best, obviously, one of the best and most truthful statistic you want to get out there. And when it comes to prices, that's more of a charting mechanism as well as a momentum mechanism. You know, what is our investment selection process, for example, stems from prices and momentum and risk-adjusted performance. So that comes entirely from the price of the funds or the stocks itself. So those are that's some of the data that we use. But again, that's all coming directly from the market itself. Nothing exogenous or anything from the fundamental or economic landscape. Because again, this is what is actually determining which way prices are going.
All right. So when it comes to where prices are going and some of the sectors you still see opportunities in, we've been talking for the last maybe couple months now about the leading sectors being tech, gold miners, and even some of the healthcare stocks. Is this still the play for you? Or are you seeing any changes in some of the data that you've been watching?
No, this is the trends are persisting. You know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks a bit of a mean reversion move, where we see some of those lagging sectors, financials and energy, and some of the international markets and small caps have been bouncing a little bit, but nothing that changes the overall trend. So we want to look at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture remains the same. You got the same leaders, sectors hitting all-time highs: technology, healthcare, biotech, the large caps, obviously, as far as a market cap perspective. So the big trends are still in place. We're starting to see a couple red flags from a risk in, perspective in terms of breadth, in terms of some sentiment figures. So maybe we'll be a little bit less aggressive in playing and buying into those long trends, but the trends remain in place, and we'll continue to buy pullbacks to support levels that we see in those sectors, like, again, technology, healthcare, like you said, gold miners and precious metals.
Quick comment on gold miners. They're a bit of a pullback today, even yesterday. The gold miners are very much underperforming gold. Do you care about that comparison of what gold's doing and what gold miners are doing? Or are you simply just looking at the miners and the underlying chart?
For the most part, just looking at each individual price series itself. So we're actually long both the miners and gold. We like them both. We think they're both doing well. Obviously, gold is up, we're long the GLD, which is, just broke to new all-time highs, where GDX is still, a bit below that 2011 top, and actually approaching that 61 Fibonacci retracement, which we've been eyeing as possible area for a pause there. But it's not for us. It's not a one or the other thing. So we like them both. We'll continue to be long both and continue to buy each of them into a dip as long as they're both performing. I know there's some data that suggests when the miners are leading the metal, then that's more bullish. So I can respect that. But as long as on an absolute basis, the two are both performing well, we have no problem being long each of them and buying them into pullbacks. So again, we're not chasing them here, but any pullbacks, we're certainly open to buying more.
All right. Final comment, just really circling around to that first question. Fine, economic data you do, well, you ignore. What about election turmoil? Because we are going to be made with election back and forth, and that can cause some serious volatility. Do you care at all about the election that's right around the corner?
Again, no. Like I made the point with the economic and fundamental data, anything that's relevant, any information, any news, any headlines that's relevant to market prices, it's going to eventually show up in the market data itself. So we'll keep an eye on the quantitative, the objective market data, and read the signals from there that we always do. It might be you might get some kind of shock when there's an exogenous news event, obviously, something that you can't, then you're not going to hit all of those little short-term wiggles. But we're not going for every short-term wiggle. We're going for, you know, the bigger picture, the bigger trends. And when the data and the market data changes, will change. So anything that's relevant to market prices is going to show up. It's going to be discounted. Again, the market's the best discounting mechanism in the world. And it's going to figure things out a lot quicker than any human analyst can or human forecaster can. So we'll keep our eyes on the data and continue to try to maintain an objective quantitative approach.
All right, Dana, good chatting with you, buddy. We're going to wrap it up there, but I just find it interesting the different way that people look at markets. And hey, I don't blame you for trying to ignore all of this economic data because it is backward looking. And especially in times like these, it's very unpredictable. And that goes along with the market moves. Those are unpredictable because it's all about investors just forecasting what they expect other investors and other central banks to do. It's a muddy picture, really. Dana, thanks for your time today. I hope you have a great rest of your Friday and a great weekend. I will be talking with you in a couple weeks' time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Corey.